Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I bring what I call the coming of a real spiritual revolution that's happening in this country. And tonight's guest is someone who's very much a part of that. He's Don Miguel Ruiz, and he's the author of The Four Agreements. And he's going to talk to us about The Four Agreements, which I think a lot of people know, but also about what his lineage has been about, which is Toltec, and his trips to Teotihuacan and the big conference that he's going to be doing in Austin called the Awakening Conference. So, Don Miguel?
Yes, hello.
Hi. I mean, you are from a beautiful tradition of Toltec teachings. Can you give us a little just background about who the Toltecs were?
Well, we can say that it's not really just history. It's happening right now. The word Toltec means artist, and that means all humanity. It doesn't matter where they were born, but we all are artists, and the art that we create is the world, is, and the way to express it is through love. Then we can say that the word Toltec is a word that comes from the Mexica, from the Aztecs, and that's the way they called the ones who created the ancient pyramids in Mexico, the great artists.
But the real modern teaching is that it's about finding the Toltec spirit in each one of us. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we all use the art of life in order to find ourselves, to become authentic. We can say that the way of life of the artist is nothing but common sense that leads you into your own happiness, into your truth, into your love, into respect, into peace. That is exactly what the whole world needs right now.
Yeah, and I've been studying the role of the artist in our culture, and what I think the artist does is tap into a greater sense of feeling. So what I get you're saying is, how do we become more human by feeling more?
Yes, we can say that it's the sensitivity, you know, it's the love for ourselves, it's the recognition and the acceptance of what we really are, instead of pretend to be what we are not. It's much more
easy. How do we start to tap into who we really are? I mean, what kind of, I guess the Four Agreements are part of that, but how, what's a good way for us to be reminded of the authentic self?
Well, it's so simple. If we just have the awareness that we become the way we are because we hear all those opinions and we try to please everybody around us, we try to please our parents, we try to please our teachers, we try to please society, and we are surrendered for so many opinions who tell us how to live our lives that we forget that we don't need really to learn how to live our lives because we are alive, and it's so simple. It's just to be ourselves. It's just to share that love with all the people who live around us, especially the people that we love the most, like our family, our parents, our beloved, our children, our society.
When you talk, I really feel the love, and it really feels so simple. How did we create such a world that has gotten so far away from just the simplicity of being, and why did we do it? And I guess we're about changing it, huh?
Well, we can say that we really are going into the right direction. And we keep growing and we keep evolving. You know, like if we compare ourselves the way we used to live 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 700 years ago, if we compared our beliefs, or the beliefs that people have at that time, we will find out that compared with them, we are in heaven. You know, we don't live with all those superstitions that they used to live. You know, in the Middle Ages, everything was about devil, everything was about demons, everything was about fear. And yes, we can say that today is also about fear, but it's a little different, a lot different, really. We are becoming more and more what we are. We have more understanding. You know, there's no more slaves anymore. There's injustice. There is war. There's all the fear about the financial things. Mm-hmm. But in every crisis, we become better and better. Mm-hmm. We really learn a lot about ourselves. You know, in the last century, we evolved a lot. Like in the beginning of the last century, we was very slow. By the end of the last century, we was so fast in everything, communication, computers, everything is so amazing. In just in 10 years, in this century, it's incredible how science and technology goes so fast that it's maybe the time to catch up with psychology now.
Mm. Well, I like how you're so positive. I mean, so many people I talk to are not as positive, but I totally agree with you. We are actually evolving with our technology to a great peak of human experience. I mean, yes, there's no slavery, and yes, we're trying to do away with war, and I think we are coming to a future that's going to just be beautiful and marvelous. What do you see as the future?
It's like if we see by the end of the Mayan calendar that comes from the Toltecs, the whole cycle ends in the 2012.
Yeah.
It's a brand new beginning. It's, I see all that very positive, like the change of the world is happening already. And yes, mm-hmm. there are crises, and the crisis perhaps will go a little deeper, but then after the crisis, we become better and better and better. Then
is there going to be a major event on 2012, on this winter solstice, December 21st? Something big going to happen to the planet, or is it a slow change that's already happening?
Well, as we say a little before, it's changing so fast. You know, the last 10 years of the last century and the first 10 years of this century, the way everything changed is so amazing. And we need to catch up with that. You know,
we
need to really evolve as fast as technology, as fast as the computers, as fast as science. It's the time to let go all the superstitions, to let go all the fear, to return to common sense and to really change our world. Because if we want to change the planet, we need to change the individual world, which means your mind, my mind, and each one of us has to change our own world. Nobody else really will change it. And the way to do it is by having awareness, by understanding more and more what is really happening. And to accept ourselves just the way we are. We don't need to pretend to be what we're not. Accept ourselves to be 100% humans and not try to be anything else but humans. Because all our beauty is by being a human. Respecting our human body, respecting the language that we speak, respecting even the mythology and the belief that we have, respecting our religion, respecting our family, respecting everything, to learn to respect. That's the way how we can really live in complete harmony and peace. Because we cannot give what we don't have. And if we don't have justice in ourselves, if we don't have love in ourselves, how can we pretend to give to others?
Right.
Then everything really begins with ourselves. And
so what do we need to do? I mean, of course, with this philosophy and this type of living, there would be no war. We would have a beautiful planet. But what do we need? We need to love ourselves. But what about the people making war now? What about these countries stockpiling weapons? How do we affect change on a big level?
Well, as I, like I said before, we all want to change this planet. But to change the planet, we need to change our personal world, you know, our own mind. Because the only way to live in peace is by respecting everybody else. But we cannot respect others if we don't respect ourselves. Then we need to learn to respect ourselves in order to respect the people that we love the most, like our parents, our beloved, our children, our community, our country, the entire planet. And it's one by one, and only we can change ourselves. Nobody really can change us.
But how do we go and affect change? I mean, yes, we have to affect ourselves, but then when we see it in the world, if we see, you know, people harming other people or countries harming other countries, how do we affect change on a bigger level?
Once that we change ourselves, the next step is to give what we receive to everybody around us. Like, personally, I write all those five books that there's all around the country that is being translated in 36 different languages. And the message got to the whole world to let them know that if they change, the whole world will change. But we need to change one by one ourselves by understanding, by accepting what we are. We don't. We cannot just go and impose our beliefs to other people and make them be what we want them to be. No, we
right.
all have the right to be ourselves, and that's respect.
Right. I think I know what you're saying. I think it's like even though we think that we are peaceful, the fact that there's still war outside of us in our reality means that we haven't gone deep enough into ourselves, because if we did, it would change the reality out there. I think
that's how psychology is changing also and trying to catch up with technology and with science. Yes, there is war, there is fear, but it's the result of all that ignorance. It's the result of all that fear. It's the result of all this misinformation and take for granted what we already have. It's trying to make other countries to be what we want them to be instead of respect they are.
So when we get to this level, what does the future look like? How does the world look in 20 years from now when we get to this level of purity? What do you see possible once we get there as a planet?
Well, I can see a harmony between all the different nations. A harmony in our own nation, a harmony in all our communities, and really becomes a beautiful and wonderful brother sisterhood. That there's no difference, really.
So I know you wrote the four agreements, the one being impeccable, don't take anything personally, don't make assumptions, always do your best. But I heard you're working on the fifth agreement. Do you want to tell us what the fifth agreement is?
Oh, definitely, yes. And really is my son the one who catch up in that direction. And the fifth agreement is really something that I've been teaching for so long, but now he's teaching something that he called angel training, when we know that the word angel really means a messenger. And knowing that we humans, we are messengers. Every single human in the world is a messenger. And angel training, which means messenger training, means that we understand ourselves and we know what message we are delivering. And the fifth agreement is be skeptical, but learn to listen. Be skeptical means don't believe, because we know we are dreaming and we all live in our own world, in our own dream. And whatever we say is only truth for ourselves. But we learn to listen. By listening, there's everybody else's stories, everybody else's dreams. We learn to respect what they believe, what they are, and that gives peace. Then with the disagreement, it takes us into society peace, not just into the individual peace that we already have. but
I hope you'll be coming to New York on June 21st. This is what I'm to present your teachings along with your son Don Jose and have a solstice festival.
Yes, and it's really based in this message is to let everybody know what kind of messenger you are, what kind of angel you are, what is the message that you deliver to your beloved, what is the message that you deliver to your parents, what is the message that you deliver to your children, what is the message that you deliver to your society, to your country, to the world. But most important is, what is the message that you deliver to yourself? The message of love?
Yeah.
The message of respect? Because this is the real messenger. One who leads you into be yourself.
So that's the next level. Like, after you've gotten in touch with this creative, sensitive person within, you know, and have respected and become impeccable and let go of the personal attachment, then what comes as this inspirational consciousness is the message that we're here to share with the rest of the world. That's what you're saying, right?
Exactly. It's to let everybody know that we all are one. We are only one. The entire humanity.
We're one, but each of us has our own specific part to play as an act of the one.
Yes, but you live in your own world, but everybody else also live in their own world. But we all together, we are humanity. It's only one living being. And we, all humanity, we are just a part of this beautiful planet Earth. It's like that the forest is another organ of this planet Earth. The atmosphere is another organ. The ocean is another organ. Because the planet Earth is alive. We are the planet Earth. We are part of the planet Earth. And if we respect the planet Earth, if we respect every organ of the planet Earth, if we respect ourselves as humans, ourselves as individuals, you know, this becomes heaven here on Earth. We live in heaven here. We retreat in heaven because it's already heaven.
You know, I first heard the word Toltec from reading the Carlos Castaneda works, and his understanding from what I get, it was more like being an impeccable warrior. He didn't talk as much about love. I mean, what did you think of Castaneda's work and his use and understanding of Toltec?
Well, I think he was an impeccable warrior. He used all the mythology in order to teach his apprentices. And for what I can see, he did an excellent work, because beyond all that fear that he taught is love. That is really what he was loving. Because if you read his books, you will find, let's see, Don Juan and Don Gennaro, loving the world. It's face down with the arms open, loving the whole world. And this is what they call, this is the rule of the Nahual. We are only one living being in the whole universe. There's no difference between the Earth and any star in the sky. It's not
the Nahual. How do you define Nahual?
Well, Nahual is, we can say, is like the spirit. It's the force that move matter. And matter is the tonal.
The tonal is the matter, and the energy of the spirit is the Nahual.
Exactly. The force that moves the matter.
But what was also interesting in the Castaneda books is he would say, you know, you could really do magic, and I really believe that you could transport your consciousness and your body through different dimensions with this Nahual power. You teach that too?
This is a beautiful mythology, but it's just a mythology. It's
just, what do you mean by mythology?
Well, you know, it's like any other religion. It's just a mythology. If we go to the Greeks to talk about Zeus, about Hermes, about Apollo, it's so beautiful, but it's just mythology. If we go
so
to,
it was a way of teaching people something deeper, you're saying?
Yes. You know, like we use the story of our life in order to teach. And if you see the story of your life, it's also nothing but mythology. It's what you believe about your own life. But every time that you share your life with somebody else, will be completely different. And the story of your life will change if you say the story when you're happy, that when you said your story, that when you're angry, or when you say the story is like when you're sad. It will look like a three different stories. And it's the story of your life. And you know your life. You use the language that you speak in order to create the story of your own life, that every time that you speak the story, looks like it's completely different.
Yes, but you also know that in the Toltec teachings, and I know you're from a lineage, there were some mystical teachings that would open up different parts of our minds to experience new realities, which is the name of the...
Oh, definitely is absolutely truth, but it's true also in the rest of the planet, not only with the Toltecs, because we as humans are capable to do the same things. It's nothing really extraordinary.
Because I think what you're saying, from what I get, is like, if you focus on that, you miss the real teachings, which is about love, right?
Exactly. And we can say, we want heaven on earth. I can say that I have heaven in my world, in my mind. I live in heaven for so many years already, and I enjoy every single thing I do in life.
What does heaven look like to you? How did you get there, and what does it feel like? What's heaven feel like?
Well, we can say that I no longer try to be somebody else. I just accept the way I am, and I am the way I am. And that's the only thing I really can do. Many people talk about transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
But transcendence to what? We were born perfect.
Mm.
We all are perfect. Every single human in this world is perfect. You're not aware of that perfection. That's another story. But let's see if everything that exists is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the forest is perfect, the star are perfect, everything is perfect. The animals are perfect, but the human, you know, it cannot be possible.
We're
also perfect.
I get that. Was there a moment in your life where that realization just clicked? Can you describe what happened when you really understood and got that teaching?
Well, that happened when I was in something that I call the mirror room. It's a room with four mirrors, and I was sitting in the mirror just looking at the reflection of myself, that it was looked like a hundreds of myself, and just to see the images. And at a certain moment, I just click in my head. You know, everything that I see is just an image. Just like what I'm seeing in the mirror.
It was an image, but it wasn't the authentic self, right? It wasn't who you really were.
Exactly. That was what I get from there. Then what I really am, I really have no words to share it. You know, if I say I'm Mr. Miguel Ruiz, I am a medical doctor, I am a human, I am light, I am energy. I'm using words, but the words are symbols that we invent.
Mm.
And they're only true because we agree of the meaning of every single letter.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that I was thinking is only truth in English or truth in Spanish. That is the language that I speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not truth in Japanese. It's not truth in German. It's not truth in any other language. Because to speak other language, there was millions of humans who agree that in the symbol of every word. And it was so obvious that we exist long before any language. And
right,
even
so
more,
who you realized that you were was this, not the image, but the being that produced the image and the actions and the words.
Exactly.
You were the... And when and you really... that, it just changed your whole life then, huh?
Exactly. After that, I no longer try to pretend to be anybody else. I only can be myself.
You had an awakening. You realized you were that essence inside the action, inside.
And then I could see that everybody around me is exactly the same. The only difference is that they are not aware of that.
So
and
your
then
work
awareness becomes so important.
And your work is helping people become aware of that.
Well, this is my pleasure. I don't consider it as a work. You know, it's what I enjoy, to give a message, to deliver a message, to let everybody know that there's not a reason why to suffer.
Mm. But when you got that awareness, you found also the happiness with that because something else shifted, right?
Well, it's just being myself makes me so happy.
Uh-huh.
Just to love myself makes me intensely happy. And there's something that I can give to everybody else. That's when I really start taking a lot of apprentices and start teaching to everybody just to be aware. And yes, I teach in certain mythologies, and I change in mythologies again and again and again and again, and I still change in mythologies because they're not truth. But when they start getting so comfortable with one mythology, it's time to change it. Because it's not about to change mythologies. It's about
to heal the presence. You were teaching rituals and chanting and all that, but you keep changing that because people get attached to those
exactly.
forms.
And they make rules and then it becomes difficult to get out of that.
But
a lot of
people aren't free enough to let go of their mythologies and rituals. Even a lot of teachers get trapped in that, you know?
Yes, we can give ourselves the permission to enjoy every single moment of our life. Why not?
So, how are you, what was your secret in discovering that you could let go of even your own mythologies? Because I think that's a big step, coming from such a long tradition that you come from. You had to let go of something. You had to let go of your attachment to the tradition even, right?
Exactly. This is the fifth agreement. Don't believe me. Don't believe yourself. Don't believe anybody else, but learn to listen. When you understand what they're saying, and you respect what they say, you live in love and in peace. Once that you listen what they say, you agree or disagree. But not necessarily you have to make any resistance or anything, no, because everybody has the right to believe whatever they believe.
Right, but everyone has a right to believe it, but with your knowledge, they don't have to be attached to it.
We can say that It's a moment that you no longer look for a guru. No, you are your own guru. You have faith in yourself 100%. You don't need to believe in Buddha. You don't need to believe in Moses. You don't need to believe in any avatar, in any guru, because you discover that you are your own guru.
But what about when people make you a guru? I know that's not what you want to be, but I'm sure people have done that to you. What do you do? What do you say?
Well, they try so many times to do that, and what I did is, no, you're absolutely wrong. You are your own guru. I am not responsible for your decisions. You have to make your own choices, your own decisions, and understand that every action in your life will have a reaction. Will have consequences. If you don't love, you will have consequences for not loving. If you hate, you will have consequences for hating. And it's common
sense. That's really an important teaching. People don't realize that their thoughts and their actions do have consequences.
Yes, it's very important to be responsible. And you cannot be responsible for anybody else, really. Even if
that's
you want to.
That's also a big one.
Yes.
Do you think 2012 will start the major shift that, I mean, we've been waiting for, where a human society will grow up and we really will have a new world.
We can say that 2012 is the end of a calendar and the beginning of another calendar. Is as important as every December 21st and January 1st.
It's important as every minute in
as
a way.
Every new
too,
year,
right?
Yes. But this calendar, it takes thousands of years to reach this end. Then it's the end of a whole era and a beginning to another era, but with the point of view of the Toltecs or the Mayans.
But the eras are also the way people think. They're connected to consciousness and mind state. So I think this coming great year we'll think differently. That's where I was sort of going. I mean, with that.
Well, it is happening already. We are changing our thinking already, and we can say that everything is transforming at every moment. Then the end of that calendar is just a point in history. It doesn't mean more or less than that. We're just aware that this happened in that day, and we can celebrate the same way that we celebrate the New Year's.
And so it should be celebrated, because it's a celebration of consciousness, really.
Exactly. We all been joining that, even if it's or not our tradition, it's not important. It's just the end of a cycle and the beginning of another cycle. But if we really see it, every moment is the end of a cycle and a beginning of another cycle. Because only the now exists. The now and here. This is the whole reality, right here and right now. We have memories from the past, but the future don't exist yet.
The future doesn't exist, and we can create the future that we want with our actions and attitudes.
And I am very optimistic for the future, because we know we are in the right direction. And that's the legacy I want to leave to the whole world, not just to my children, but for the children of my children, and so on.
We are in the right direction. I feel like,
we are.
I say we are, too. I think, what you've laid the groundwork for, you and many other teachers, is a positive change for humanity, one of love and caring and compassion. And I think that the old time of war and hatred, it's over. It's on its way out. And you're going to be presenting a workshop in Teotihuacan as well in Mexico. I guess the best website for you is the Don Miguel website?
Yes, DonMiguelRuiz.com, yeah.
Miguel Ruiz, MiguelRuiz.com. You're both going to be at the Awaken Conference coming up February 26th to March 1st in Austin, Texas. That looks like a great conference.
Yes, and in Teotihuacan will be from the 20 to the 24 February.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be in New York June 21st for a big summer solstice celebration where you'll present your teachings and your family and a real time to acknowledge the lineage and also the next generation, the future. So I'm really looking forward to seeing you there.
Yes, and I would invite everybody to join me to give our legacy to the ones that are coming before us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we look forward to the fifth agreement. And thank you, Don Miguel, for taking time and just sharing your life, because I know this is who you are, someone who is sharing the teachings and is dedicated to transformation.
And I give all my love to you, and please give it to whoever is listening.
We will. Maybe we'll do another few shows in the next couple of months, okay?
Sure, we'll be
okay.
Wonderful.
Definitely.
All
my love to you. I'm going to be talking to Tammy Holmes next, who's running the conference in Austin.
Okay, so, wonderful.
Thanks again, and I look forward to meeting you.
Okay, well, it will be great.
Yes, and keep the, you know, any new information you get, anything else you want to share, please send it my way and I will share it with the public.
Wonderful. It will be done.
Thank you, Don Miguel. Blessings.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, that was Don Miguel Ruiz, and he is going to be at the Awakening Conference in Texas. That is February 26th to March 1st. You can also look at his website, MiguelRuiz.com. And I'm going to be talking now to the person who's putting on that conference, Tammy Holmes. And is Tammy on the line? Because she is, let me tell you about Tammy. She is an international renowned medium, a spiritual coach, an inspirational speaker in A Course in Miracles. And, oh, who's coming to this conference? This is going to be an amazing conference. It's Marianne Williamson, Don Miguel. We just talked to Dan Millman, Patch Adams.
Yes.
Who there was a movie about Patch Adams a couple of years back, a doctor who started just helping people around the world. Let's see, who else is going to be there? I'm just waiting for Tammy Holmes to come on the line. Seth at PBS?
I'm here.
Oh, hi. Thanks for being here. I just talked to Don Miguel about the conference that you're going to be doing. Can you describe what the actual theme of the conference is?
Well, the theme is called A Voice for Change, and it came together about a year and a half ago before Obama even ran for president. And it just came to me that we needed to be a voice for change and to bring together the leaders, our nation, that are inspiring and that are living that change and that are embodying the power within to be the change. So all the speakers came together, and it started creating itself. And we started out with a few speakers, and then we kept getting calls of everyone who wanted to come on board. And we're up to 16 speakers for both conferences, for Phoenix, and also the first event. It's going to be in San Marcos, Texas, February 26th through March 1st. And we have, you know, Don Miguel, who you just had. He was wonderful. I was listening and loved it. Thank you for having us on.
This is what I do. I love talking to you guys. But yeah.
Well, we love it too. And, you know, having Dan Millman there, and Rhonda Britton's going to be there, Joe Patelli, Marianne Williamson, John and Jane Randolph Price, Patch Adams, and go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, is there anything that makes this I mean, the theme is different, but is there anything in the format, will these people be talking to each other? I mean, what makes this conference unique?
Well, a couple things. One or two things make this different is that we have musicians coming in. I'm a music buff. I love music, and I believe music is an automatic opening to the heart chakra and, you know, interacting with the music. So we have six musicians coming in who are going to be, you're going to be dancing in the aisle. You're going to be participating with their music. And then the second thing that's different from these conferences, it's really not a conference, it's a gathering. Our speakers and musicians don't just go on stage and then they leave at the end. This is where most of our speakers come to our events, and they actually interact through the weekend. They get fed. They're inspired to continue their journey. So it's like there's an equal sharing at our conferences, and I've had many speakers and musicians come at our past events and said, Tammy, this isn't a conference, it's a happening, it's a gathering. And the only word I can explain is it's anointed. People literally sit down and cry the whole weekend. Or, you know, there's changes. They're going to walk away with changes that they're going to do in their lives. Rather than just hearing somebody speak all weekend, they're going to have two or three ways where they're going to take that in their lives, and they're going to walk away and make the changes that are going to be the most serving for their spirit and their soul and the love for themselves. And most people don't believe in themselves, so they leave with confidence and the trust that they can do anything because they realize it's not about them and that, you know,
right,
it's bigger than them. And that's what's different.
What kind of changes would you like to see happen in people at the end of the conference? What would you hope for them to come away with?
Well, I'd like to see people walk away and have the courage and the audacity to do what makes their heart sing, to know that it's not about them, that, you know, their part is so huge in the play, and that part can only be participated by their effort, by their actions, by their love of what they're creating in their lives. And it's like if they walk away and say, I can make a difference in my part, and that part has to be done just by me, then we did our job. If they can walk away and they know that they can change the world by that, and they can do what makes their heart sing, and they can get out of fear and, you know, co-create their life instead of playing a victim. They can be more proactive and you know, not be their stories anymore. I mean, it's like we're so caught up with being in the stories. It's like we got to get out of the stories, because you're not your past anymore. You're not even the future. And I know you were talking about 2012, and I'm, of course, a miracle student, and our belief is, you know, the only thing you can change is today. So the past and the future are fear-based. So, you know, if the attendees walk away with, you know what, I can do what I want to do. I've been wanting to do that for the last 10 years, but, you know, or make an excuse, or, you know, always believing that you're not good enough, or I'm going to buy into the judgment that I have on myself or what others placed on me and I allowed and bought in it too. I can say, no, I'm not that person anymore. I'm better than that. I'm more than that story. I'm more than my body. That I can actually play a bigger game. And the thing is, we don't have the time to keep doing our work. It's time to be active. It's time to participate and take accountability and say, you know what, I don't need to work on myself anymore. I need to be, my actions now need to demonstrate my beliefs rather than us always working on ourselves.
Well, you're right. I mean, people have been working on themselves forever. It's like, come on, get over it. I was stuck in that myself. Oh, my story and this. And like, you just reminded me, yes, of course, we're not our story. And I keep forgetting that. I keep getting sucked back into the story of what happened yesterday or last week or last minute, you know?
I know. It's like, and the one thing I like, because, you know, I studied with Marianne Williamson for many years, and I'm so glad we have her, because she made a change in my life. And she said one thing one time that really, and I use it today in my own practice, is leave your shit at the door. You know, if you do your work and you come in to see your clients, or you go do your job 8 to 5, leave your stuff at the door. It's still going to be there when you leave. You can pick it up and deal with it later. But it's like we need to start leaving our stories, our stuff, and just start doing what we're called to do and not make excuses anymore. You don't, you know, it's like start showing up. And so these conferences are all about us being inspired again to get the courage to start showing up more. And because, you know, it's time. It's time, not just for ourselves, but for the next generation. And for ourselves, we need to start showing up more for ourselves, too.
Well, I mean, of course, you know, most people think they are their story. And without their story, they don't feel they're anybody. But if you listen to what Don Miguel says,
yes,
it's like, yeah, you're not the story. You're the authentic being without any of that mask on you.
Right, but so, you know, most people are afraid of the light as much as they are the darkness. So you're caught
the light.
In, most people are afraid of the light as much as they are the darkness.
Oh, they're afraid of the light. Well, what do you mean they're afraid of the light? I mean, they're afraid.
Well, because most people have not embraced it. So what you've not embraced, you know, the ego is going to try to convince you that, you know, you're not worthy of it. I mean, I've seen over 5,000 clients, and 95% of them don't feel they're worthy of anything. So you got to, you know, it's like you have to love them and hold that space for them until they can own it. And it's like you are so worthy of that light and who your authentic self is and that true essence of you. Until they can jump into it or walk into that or gently walk into that light, they're not used to it. And I've been there, so I know what that's like.
Well, I just did some great work with a woman who channels this consciousness called Michael, and her work is all about that unworthy, that unlovable, finding that place, owning the discomfort, and moving to a place of happiness once you realize these false beliefs that are buried inside of us. So,
right.
I mean, that's the work we all need to do, because we're all in the way of our happiness. That's why Miguel saying, you know, when he realized who he really was, he was happy.
Right.
So, but let's do a happiness conference, okay?
Yes. Well, this is a happiness conference, and it's about having fun and celebrating and refueling and recognizing who we really are and seeing that in each other, too. It's a chance to network, a chance to just enjoy yourself. It's, you know, and it's not all so complicated. It's really, you know, truth is pretty easy, and it's basic, and it's simple. And if you really want to come have a good time and be inspired and just have fun and have fellowship and gather with other like-minded individuals, this conference for you. And we'd love to have everyone come, and we'll have over 50 vendors. We have 16 speakers, 7 musicians, and it's just, we're coming together as a family. And it's like not just the participants, but it's the vendors and the volunteers and our staff and the hotel. And we're making a unit, you know, like a unity of just coming together to have a good time and just letting go of anything that we feel is complicated, because it's not complicated. And but you could check out the website, theawakeningconference.com, or you can call us toll-free, which is 1-877-347-7799. And most people that come to our events are blown away. I mean, all my speakers last year were literally blown away. In the last 3 years we've done this, every one of them said it's not a conference, it's a happening. And they actually stay all weekend because they're getting so much out of it. And they're participating in the audience. They're not hiding behind a curtain, or there is no separation. It's like we're all coming together to you know, refuel and to receive that grace and that energy of love.
So it's like a party, sort of, it sounds like.
It's a big party. It's a big party, and we have a good time, you know, and everybody's up dancing in the aisles, and with 6 musicians coming in, we've got Lucinda Drayton coming in from England, who has the song 100,000 Angels. We have Faith Rivera coming in from L.A., and she's one of the hot singers right now on the tour with Spirituality Music, Del Worley, Jason and DeMarco, Esther Nicholson, and all these incredible speakers. We have, you know, speakers that are coming in, they're up and coming, Gene Slater, Mindy Alden, Heather Ash, Tammy Keeves will be there. So, and it really is a reunion, because a lot of them I already know, and we're coming back together to play. I just feel like we're going to play.
And do the speakers get to also dialogue with each other? Like, I'd love to hear Marianne Williamson and Gene Houston and Don Miguel all talk to each other. That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
They do. We even have a party for them. So Saturday night at both conferences, we have a party for, and those are for the speakers, musicians, and our sponsors come together, and they party. So, you know, it gives back to them, and we give back to our attendees, and we just have a blast. So, and, you know, the thing that shows up for us is they call us. I mean, some of the speakers I call, but a lot of them call me, like, hey, are you having another conference? We want to be invited. So I have a waiting list of 56 speakers right now on my waiting list for speaking. And we've got over 150 volunteers that are on the waiting list because they want to be part of this. They've been, you know, so we don't have a big turnaround on the people that come in for, that work the back end, because they love it so much. They get so much out of it because it's wonderful.
Well, it's also good because you don't have too, I mean, a lot of the conferences you have to make a choice between this speaker and that speaker. It seems like the way you set it up, you could pretty much hear everyone without missing anybody.
Right. That's how we wanted to do this year. We want to try to keep most of it in one ballroom, because that way everybody's in one area. And then, you know, we have a couple of breakout sessions on Sunday, but for the most part, everything's going to be in one area. And the other thing that makes us different, too, from a lot of events is I'm a sound fanatic. I like sound equipment because I know sound is energy. So we use nothing but the best sound equipment. It'll take us probably 10 or 15 hours to set up our sound system. So we bring in the most expensive mics, speakers. We have 8 crew members on our sound crew to make sure that everything is impeccable with sound, because that vibrates the whole conference.
So where's it be? In which, and it's going to be in San Marcos, Austin, but what, in a hotel there? Where's it actually going to be?
It's going to be at a brand new hotel, the Embassy Suites, they just built in San Marcos, Texas. And it's been open 3 months, and it's a gorgeous hotel. And we rented half of the hotel. We've already ran out of our block rooms for our registration, so we booked two other hotels for more rooms so they can be accommodated. And that's going to be a mile away, and we'll have a free shuttle service for that. And so that'll be at the Embassy Suites in San Marcos, which is right between Austin and San Antonio. And then
how far from Austin is it?
About a half hour.
Oh, so if you fly into Austin, you would just sort of rent a car and drive to San Marcos, or is there a bus at the Austin airport, or?
Well, we have a shuttle service that if they sign up for it, it's a round trip at $60, but we'll have our own shuttle service to pick them up at the airport, either if they fly in Austin or San Antonio. They're about a half hour each from the hotel. And so we did provide that if they want that. Or they can rent a car and do it that way. But we did give some options on that, too.
And then you're doing another conference in Phoenix, Mesa, Arizona, May 14th to May 17th.
Correct.
And are you doing anything else after that?
At this time, we're not really planning out after May, and I need to get through these two. It's such an undertaking. And after May, I'll probably go on tour. I have a book coming out, and we'll probably do a cross-country tour. And I will take a musician with me because I love music, so we're probably hitting all the states in America.
Wait, but before we get to your, individual town, I just want to say that John Randolph Price is going to be there in San Marcos, Texas. And he's someone who's written amazing books about abundance and creating wealth. That's a really valuable, I would love to hear him, you know?
Well, you're welcome to come. And I'm looking forward to meeting them. I've never met them. We have a pre-workshop Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 o'clock. We have Doreen Bassifeg, who wrote the book Excuse Me, Your Life Is Now, and she has actually wrote the book after Excuse Me, Your Life Is Waiting, after Lynn Grabhorn passed away. So Doreen Bassifeg's going to do a 3-hour hands-on workshop on how to manifest, and then from 1 to 4, John and Jane Randolph Price will be there. And so this is a pre-workshop. It's optional. It's $100 if you want to do that. And then Thursday night we're doing a pre-night Thursday night from 7 to 10. Faith Rivera is going to open for me. And the girl is amazing. She's been nominated for an Emmy, and she was backup singer for John Cicada. And so I'm going to be doing live readings from 8 to 10 Thursday night.
Yeah, just a little bit more about your work in the last few minutes, because you talk about intuitive wellness, and that sounds like a really great topic. What does that mean?
Well, intuitive wellness is if you're not listening to your intuition every minute of the day or as much as possible, you're not actually, you're not awake, you're not aware. If you're co-creating, then you're not in the victim role. You're not being reactive. So intuitive wellness is asking yourself all the time, what should I be doing in this moment? What's for my highest good? It's co-creating with all that is possible. When you do that, you open, it's unlimited. You're tapping into that unlimited energy of just that universal wisdom. And when you're doing that, you're playing high. You're playing the biggest you can play. It's like, why use 10% when you can use 12% of your brain? And
right.
Intuitive wellness, and when you vibrate higher, then you let go of all those fear-based the lower energy vibration. The Course in Miracles calls Earth the battlefield. So when you start living in intuitive wellness, you're rising above the battlefield, and you're vibrating, and you're releasing all negative energies, and you're not actually drawing in those lower dimensional frequencies where you're stuck. So when you're vibrating higher, you're unblocked, and you're able to create more abundance and to create more of what makes your heart sing, and you're playing bigger, and you're doing your calling. You're opening up to the best possibilities of who you really are.
And then you start to live in the flow, because I think if you tap into that long enough, it just becomes a kind of ongoing upliftment where you are just taken along because you're so in align with the flow that it You know, there's no separation anymore.
And, well, you become the observer. And so you're the observer in your co-creation. You know, you're observing what you can co-create, and you realize it's unlimited. And
but don't
so when,
you,
go ahead.
Don't you think you reach a point where you no longer have to say, am I in touch? It's like that. It's just the essence of your being is the in touchness?
Well, you become the beingness of that oneness. And the greatness of that, Alan, is that's where you're changing the world. That's where you're changing other people. I mean, our mission statement for the conference is if everybody can feel the presence of God's love, we did our job, because you start vibrating so high that people come into your energy. You don't have to say anything. They want what you have. I mean, that's how I woke up. I saw Marianne in 93, and I felt her energy, and I'm like, I'll do whatever it takes to have that, because I can't live without that energy. And
right.
I laid down and just started crying. I'm like, whatever she has, I don't even know what it is, but I'm desperate for it. I couldn't live without it.
And but then you found it inside you, right?
Well, yeah, I found it inside me, but it's like that she ignited that energy in me. And we want to be that high and vibrating that when we walk in a room, we can change a room.
Well, we will be. We are doing that. We are at the Awakening Conference. That's the thing, right?
That's right.
That will change the planet. That vibration, if enough people are in that state, it will have a ripple effect. I really do think so.
Well, and you know, we've seen that from the last 2 years we've done these events. People are literally sitting down and they're crying the whole weekend because they're feeling that love for the first time, or they're feeling that vibration and they're just letting it in. I mean, we have to have volunteers walking around because people are so affected by the energy. It's so high. I mean, Daniel Namon said that he's only done one other conference at the caliber that we had at that energy. He said he's never felt anything like it.
It reminds me of that Rumi poem, those who don't feel this love pulling them like a river, or take in sunset like a cup of spring water, let them sleep, you know?
And we'll love them just where they're at.
Okay, we should wrap it up, but just give one last plug for the conference, and thank you so much for being on the show. But
well, thank you for having me, and I'm honored. Well, if everyone listening out there, if you feel like you want to be part of something that really is different and that you want to be part of a gathering, we'd love to have you at San Marcos, Texas, or Phoenix, Arizona. Check out theawakeningconference.com or our toll-free number, 1-877-347-7799. And namaste, love to everyone.
Thank you. I've been talking to Tammy Holmes and before that, Miguel Ruiz, about the upcoming conferences and their work in the world. Thank you both for being a guest on New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and if you have any questions, please email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check out the website, newrealities.com, and I'll have these podcasts posted, also BBS Radio. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week. Thank you.